Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schkop, and today we will continue our study of Iov's reaction to Bildad, focusing on chapter 26, in which the third round of argumentation culminates. Iov opens by mocking Bildad for inadvertently confirming his own contention that Hashgacha Pratit does not or cannot override natural law. In trying to make sense of his inexplicable suffering, Iov concluded that though God created the universe, he had put blind forces in charge of its operation, leaving this world and the human beings living there without personalized justice. Consequently, moral aberrations are all too frequent, allowing for multiple instances of tzaddik v'ralo and rasha v'tovlo. Iov finds his friend's assurances that all will be set right in the life after death inadequate and unverifiable. They have failed to give him proof that Hashem in Olam Haba focuses on each individual and metes out the rewards and punishments perfectly suited to the actions and intentions of each one. Iov refuses such cold comfort. Thus he begins this chapter invalidating Bildad's argumentation by posing a series of questions peppered with sarcasm in verses 2 and 4. Ma azarta lelo koach, hoshata zroa lo oz. Ma ya'atzta lelo chochma vetushia larov hodata. Et mi higadet amelin, v'nishmat mi yatsa mimeka. How have you helped the powerless? How have you saved the arm that is feeble? What have you advised without wisdom? Oh, what great insight you have displayed! Who has helped you utter these words? And whose spirit spoke from your mouth? Iov rejects even the truisms that Bildad recites, since Bildad has no direct knowledge of what happens after death. Nor does Bildad make any claim to prophetic insight. Iov then continues to describe God's awesome and terrifying powers in a hyperbolic style that exceeds even his friend's descriptions. In so doing, Iov demonstrates that they haven't added any new insights or wisdom. Any truth that they may have uttered, he had already heard before. He then proceeds with two difficult pronouncements in verses 5 and 6. Harefaim yochalalu mitachat maim v'shochnehem, arom sheol negdo ve'en ksut la'avadon. This is commonly translated as, the spirits tremble beneath the waters and its inhabitants. The netherworld is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. But there is great variance among the classic commentaries as to the meaning of these verses, as they struggle to explain the term Rephaim. Rashi interprets it as a synonym for Sheol, and both terms denote hell. The plural Rephaim indicates the various levels of the inferno, found deep underground and beneath the seabed. Metzudot, on the other hand, interprets Rephaim as the very spirits that are weakened and destroyed by the angel of death. Though hell is hidden below the surface of the visible earth, the souls languishing there can be seen only by God, as if they were uncovered naked. It seems that this statement implies that no man knows what happens to the souls of the dead, and whether justice is finally exacted from the wicked in the spheres beyond the reach or comprehension of the living. Ramban and Malbim interpret Rephaim as ghosts and read the fifth verse as a rhetorical question, beginning with the inquisitive Hey, addressing Bildad. Do you imagine that your words can revive the ghosts? Your assurances that there is ultimate justice and resurrection after death are as useless to the living as they are to the dead. Ralbag, on the other hand, lends a positive tone to these verses, one that is radically different from the ironic and angry tone of the earlier verses. He suggests that Rephaim refer to dry and inert seeds, which wondrously come to life once they are watered, growing even in the oceans and rivers. They may symbolize the reincarnation of the dead into new forms and species. Svono concurs and interprets these verses as introducing an ode to God's mysterious powers, evident in the rich ore buried underground, in the verdant growth on land, and in the varied life forms in the depths of the sea. Hashem's wisdom is evident in organic and inorganic matter, as in the motions of the planets on high, and in the movement and forms of the clouds. Thus, in the following verses, Iyov sings his praises to the Creator, beginning with Note Tzafon al Tohu, Tole Eretz al Blima. The first phrase is variously interpreted. Svono, on the one hand, would translate this verse as He spreads out the northern skies over emptiness, suspending the earth over nothing. Ramban explains that the second clause describes how planet Earth is suspended in space, held by Hashem in its orbit around the sun. However, according to Ramban and Mitzudot, Tzafon refers to the land where most human beings live, land that had originally been hidden under the primeval oceans. Malbim explains that initially soil and water were intermingled, as described in Bereshit, Ve'aretz hayta tohu vavohu vechoshech al pnei tehom. And later the continents emerged from the seas, and they remain suspended between subterranean waters and the evaporated water, forming clouds that hang suspended over the land. Should Hashem give the waters free rein, they would again flood over the land and revert the earth to its original chaos, as he had done in the great deluge, the Mabul, in the days of Noah. Iyov then continues to describe God's power and his chesed, as he holds back the destructive force of waters, in verses 8 through 10. He wraps up the water in his clouds, yet the clouds do not burst under their weight. He covers the face of the full moon, spreading his clouds over it. He marks out the horizon on the surface of the waters for a boundary between light and darkness. Hashem's power is apparent in the motion of the tides, in the tempests that roil the seas, and in the crashing thunderstorms. Amudei shamayim yirofafu v'yitmehu migaarto. The pillars of heaven tremble and are aghast at his rebuke. At his will, the seas split, and by design, the waves crash and kill the arrogant Egyptians. Bekocho raga hayam, ubitvunato machatz rahav, By his power he churned up the sea. By his wisdom he cut Rahab to pieces. And then, by Hashem's command, the heavens spread like a tent over the land, and the clouds took on the form of a serpentine sea monster. Beruchu shamayim shifra, cholela yado nachash bariach. By his breath, the heavens are serene. His hand has pierced the slant serpent. Ralbag and Malbim suggest the Nachash is a band of clouds hovering and encircling the earth, blocking the sunlight, until God pierces the serpent. Rain pours down, and the air is purified, allowing the warmth of the sun's rays to reach the land and gladden man and beast. Eov's soliloquy closes with the 14th verse. Hen ele ktsot rachav, uma shemetz davar nishma bo, v'ram gvurato mit bonan. And these are but the outer fringes of God's ways. How faint the whisper we hear of him. Who then can understand the thunder of his power? God's omnipotence and infinite wisdom were very clear to Eov. He is fully aware that God's ways are inscrutable. Eov does not need his friends to remind him of God's wondrous creations and even of the historical miracles in which he displayed his power and even his mercy. However, Eov cannot understand why Hashem's chesed and tzedek remain hidden. Where is Hashem's love and justice for the suffering innocent? Thank you for learning with me.
Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.